Hallelujah. So the spring feasts are upon us, and we are starting a new series, The Lamb and the Harvest, from Passover to First Fruits, because there's just moments in life when what matters most is not what we're adding to our life, but it's about what must be removed. And see, there's seasons when God calls us first to, you know, sometimes gather more, sometimes build more, sometimes reach more, sometimes celebrate more. And there's seasons when the first word of the Lord is to increase. But this week, the word of the Lord is not expansion, but it's inspection. It's examination. That's what season we're in, because here at Liberty Life, we do things a little different. If you didn't know, well, now you're going to know, because we do things a little bit different. We're going to be stepping into a journey these next few weeks all about the spring feast. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to walk through with our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. So we don't just move randomly through the calendar. We go through God's calendar, God-given progressions that reveal what? The redemptive work of the Lamb. So I want to give you guys kind of a heads up what's about to happen these next couple weeks. Today we are beginning to get the leaven out. Amen?
Amen.
Which is preparation. It's repentance. It's what was commanded before Passover. Next Sunday, we're going to be talking about the triumphant entrance of the Lamb. Amen? Which was when Jesus was being publicly presented as the Lamb for inspection, as they were presenting Passover lambs. Then that Wednesday, April 1st, we will gather for our Christ as the Passover. For Passover, amen. We're going to talk about some of the Seder elements and how they all point to Jesus. And that Sunday, we were going to celebrate and proclaim the first fruits of the resurrection. Amen.
Amen.
Declaring Jesus is our first fruits.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So here at Liberty Life, we're not interested in wrapping up the resurrection and cultural symbols that distract us from Christ. We're not interested in centering the holidays around eggs and the bunny. Traditions that the Bible never told us to keep. We're interested in the Lamb of God. The blood of the redemption. The call to holiness. And the power of the resurrection. Because when church becomes about the bunny and other things, we lose focus. We lose clarity. And we lose clarity, we start celebrating around the edges. But here at Liberty Life, we stay in the center of God's word. Amen. We want to keep our focus where Scripture tells us to keep it focused. So we're going to walk through a journey of preparation, presentation, redemption, and resurrection over these next few weeks. It's a pathway, cleansing to Christ, from the Lamb to the harvest. From Passover to first fruits. That's why this morning matters, because before the celebration, God said there must be preparation. Before the remembrance, there had to be repentance. So before the joy was at the table, God demanded that there be order in the house. Hallelujah. Passover is one of those seasons. See, a lot of people think Passover is just about the lamb, the blood, and the meal. And it is. Those things are central. But in Exodus 12, before the meal is eaten, before the family gathers, before the feast is kept, God gave a command that reaches beyond just that moment, and it reaches into our house today. Look at your neighbor and say, the leaven must go.
The leaven must go.
See, that command is striking because the Lord was not only interested in what Israel was going to do and eat that night. He was interested in the condition of the house in which they would eat. See, he wasn't only asking them to prepare a meal, but what God was doing, he was preparing a people. What I've noticed about God's promises to Israel and then God's promise through Israel, it was very physical with them and it's very spiritual with us. See, he was just not giving them a ritual to remember. He was teaching them how a redeemed people are to approach holy things. That's what we're going to talk about today. getting the leaven out. We're talking about what, removing what does not belong when we approach what is holy. We're talking about searching the house before sitting at the table. We're talking about refusing to carry the residue of an old life into a season where we're remembering redemption. We're talking about dealing honestly with sin, compromise, corruption, pride, hidden habits, the ones behind the closed door, tolerated attitudes, and spiritual leftovers that have remained in places that they should not remain. Because leaven in Scripture is just not about bread. It becomes a picture to us. It represents influence. It represents permutation. It represents the things that we once tolerated. And those once things that we once tolerated, how they can spread much further than we ever could imagine. That's why God didn't tell merely his people to avoid a little leaven. He told them to remove it from the house. See, in Jewish practice, this became a serious process. Before Passover, the house would be cleaned. Hametz. Everybody say hametz. I like that's fun. Me and my wife have fun on the way back. Hametz would be searched for carefully. See, the visible leaven would be removed, but then the search would continue. A candle would be used. They would do this as a family. It'd be used to bring light into what? Hidden places. A feather would be used to sweep even the smallest crumbs into the spoon. A spoon would be used to carry it away, and a bag would be used to remove it from the house completely, hence our table today. Our table represents our house. And this whole process, when you look at it, preaches that God cares about what's in the house. It preaches that a holy remembrance requires holy preparation. It preaches that small things matter, especially if it carries influence. And it preaches before the Lamb is honored, the house, your house, our house, this house must be brought into order. Shows us that getting the leaven out wasn't an accident. It didn't happen by accident. It was intentional. It took examination. It takes light. It took honesty. And it takes the willingness to search where people would rather assume that everything is fine. And it takes a refusal to call something harmless that just seems familiar. We talked about thoughts and words and how those things can seem familiar, and then we just let them be. But this takes a decision in every one of us, each of our hearts, each of our households, that if this does not belong in a house preparing for the Lamb, then it does not stay in this house. That speaks to us. Because many believers want the comfort of the Lamb without the cleaning of the house. They want to celebrate redemption while making room for things God has put his finger on and said it got to go. They want God's presence near the table while keeping the residue of the leaven in the corners. Passover does not allow us to separate those things. Before the feast, there is a search. And the spring feasts are upon us. And I believe God is telling us to let him search our hearts. Before the table, there's a cleansing. Before the Lamb is honored, look at your neighbor and say, the leaven must go. See, Christ is our Passover, and he's been sacrificed for us. Amen. And this is not relevant for them. It's relevant for us because now we're not dealing, listen to this, we're not dealing with a type and shadow. See, they were dealing with a type and shadow. We are dealing with the fulfillment of the Lamb. How much more serious for us when we're dealing with the fulfillment? Christ is our Passover Lamb. We're not preparing for a type. We are responding to the true Lamb of God. Come on, man. That don't get you pumped up, man. Listen, they were in a type and shadow. We're responding to the Lamb of God. So as we begin this journey from the Lamb to harvest, I just want to say again, it's time to get the leaven out. Search the house. Have the courage to let God search you. Bring things into the light. and deal with what's been tolerated. Remove what does not belong and make room for what's holy. Because if the lamb matters, the house matters. Amen? All right, we're going to be getting into Exodus 12 today. Exodus 12 takes place in one of the most decisive moments in all history. Israel's lived under the weight of Egyptian bondage. Pharaoh's enslaved them. Their cries had made it to heaven, though. Hallelujah. Their cries made it to heaven. And what did God do? God responded. God moved through Moses, through signs and judgment against Egypt. And then the final plague is about to come. Death will pass through the land. But the Lord will make a distinction between Egypt and his covenant people. Amen. But that distinction will not be made by ethnicity alone. It will not be made by emotion. It will be made by what? Obedience to God's provision. They had to be obedient to the command of God for the angel to pass over. See, it said a lamb was to be taken. The blood is to be applied. The flesh is to be eaten. And a family is to eat in readiness. The leaven first must be removed from the house. This matters because Exodus 12 isn't merely about rescue and judgment. It's about covenant identity being formed through an obedient response. Obedience. They had to put the blood on the doorpost for the angel to move past. They had to follow the commandment. See, God was just not bringing Israel out, but he was shaping them in that moment. He's shaping them how to live, how to listen, how to order themselves as his people. See, the command, like much of the promise to Israel, is literal in Exodus. Leavened food had to be removed from the homes that had to have been honored. But as scripture unfolds, the literal act of getting the leaven out becomes a spiritual instruction. See, Paul takes the Passover language in 1 Corinthians 5 and he applies it directly to the church. He fulfills its moral significance in Christ. He says, in effect, since Christ is our Passover and he's been sacrificed, the old leaven must be cleansed out. And as we move through the text today, I want you to see that this is all on purpose. Let's get into Exodus 12, 15. It says, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove the leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. Let's go to 19 real quick, please. And for 7 days, no leaven shall be found in your houses, since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel. Whether he is a stranger or a native of the land, you shall eat nothing leavened. In all your dwellings, you shall eat unleavened bread. Amen. 7 days. 7 days. Exodus 12 gives us the command of the household preparation. 1 Corinthians 5 shows us that Christ is the fulfillment of the Passover and old leaven becomes spiritual. And then we're moving to Psalms 139, which gives us a personal prayer of how our heart should be postured toward God in this season. And when we bring Jewish tradition and practice, we're not replacing scripture. What God was showing us in this tradition that we're illustrating how the command of scripture became remembered. And this is the beauty of it. This is the beauty of knowing we're Judeo-Christians and understanding our roots. It's because they did things for remembrance. It was so they would remember. See, the search for the chametz by candlelight, the feather, the spoon, the bag. These customs help us to see what God's command looked like and what it looked like when it was lived and practiced. So this isn't about just borrowing tradition for random effect. It's about seeing how the biblical command of what God did shaped the household. And then it illustrated what a spiritual preparation looks like for us today. Each thing. God was saying to Israel that you can't approach this holy moment casually. Paul was saying to the church, you cannot claim Christ as your Passover while preserving old leaven. And the Spirit is still saying to believers today, let me search your house. Yeah. My first point is God started with the house. Because redemption was meant to reorder daily life. It was meant to be in our daily life. And what does the house do? The house is where everything begins. See, when God gave an instruction for Passover, he didn't limit it to the lamb and the meal. He addressed the house. If you think about that, that's profound, because the house is where life is lived. The house is where patterns are formed, where conversations begin, where they happen, where attitudes and beliefs settle in, where little things start to accumulate, where habits become normal. The house is not the public polished platform that everybody comes up and pretends everything's okay all the time. That doesn't happen in the house. It's the lived-in space of daily reality where you are you completely, and the people that know you know you. That's where God began. And he began there on purpose. That tells us something fundamental about redemption. God does not redeem a people to give them a new religious event. He redeems them to bring their whole life under his rule. He doesn't just save them for something. He sets them apart for something. He doesn't just change their destination. He changes the claim over their dwelling. That's why the house matters. The Lord was teaching Israel that if the blood is on the door, then the obedience has to reach the interior. That the family was going to identify itself with God's provision. Then the environment of the house had to come into an agreement with the holiness of that provision. It's about the inside, not just about what you put on the outside. Because it's possible to have visible religious symbols and keep inward spaces unaddressed. It's possible to talk about the lamb while ignoring the house. It's possible to want safety of the blood without surrendering the atmosphere of daily life to the Lord. But God's not going to allow that. He loves us too much to allow something like that. He addresses the house because he's showing that redemption reaches further than ceremony. It reaches the structures of life. It reaches into the patterns of the home. He wants to reach into the climate of your soul. The more you look at this, the more weight that it carries. Because if you think about it, homes develop cultures. That's where it all starts. Hearts develop environments, and families develop atmospheres, and churches help shift atmospheres. But if you take it like, just go back. How does it all start? It all starts in the home. It all starts with us in the home. See, and what's not addressed will become accepted. That's why God begins with the house. He's saying, don't imagine that redemption can remain at the doorway. While the heart stays untouched, while the house stays untouched, with what's inside stays untouched. God's saying, if I mark this house, then I have claim upon what's inside this house. If he's marked your house, you, he has claim on what's inside of you. That applies to us now. There's people who want God to bless the table and leave everything unexamined. You have to ask yourself, what have we stopped noticing in our house? What have we adapted to? What's remaining in there? What's lingered because we don't want to deal with it? See, Passover begins with the house because God is teaching us that a redeemed life can't be compartmentalized. It can't say, this is good for you, God. God, you can have this, but this over here nobody sees and nobody knows about, and I'm the only one that knows. You know, because I can erase the search history. I can cover it up. I can turn the light off. I can sweep it under the bed. God is saying, no, we're going to go searching. We're going to search the house. God wasn't saying, just remember my power. He was saying, let my power shape who you are. See, the Lord doesn't only want moments from us. He doesn't want just these moments. We're all together, everything looks great, everybody's smiling, everybody's happy. He doesn't want just that moment. He wants the entirety. He wants the house. We have to ask ourselves, what's become normal in our inner life? What attitudes are settling in our house that shouldn't be there? And once God addressed the house, the next question becomes obvious to us. What had to go? Look at your neighbor and say, get the leaven out. See, leaven looks so small, but it was treated seriously because what it did. When Jewish families searched for hamatz, they were looking for the leavened food still remaining in the home. Amen? Crumbs and pieces and remnants. Traces of what had risen and remained behind. That matters. Because they weren't just searching for vague impurity. They were searching for real remnants. And that's important because leaven is literal. But in Scripture, as it unfolds, it shows us that it's spiritual. And it shows us that leaven becomes such a fitting image because Paul says, a little leaven leavened the whole lump. Let's go to 1 Corinthians real quick, 5, 6 through 8. Amen. All right. 1 Corinthians, it says, your glorying is not good. Do you not know a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you are truly unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Look, there it is right in the New Testament, just for anybody who doesn't understand. Let us keep the feast. Not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The issue is leaven spreads. Leaven, it works quietly, but it affects what it enters. It changes the entire character of the whole person or the bread from within. That's why the Bible can use it as a picture of corruption and malice and wickedness and hypocrisy and, more importantly, tolerated sin. Not because crumbs look impressive, but because even the small things that are tolerated can carry influence. Leaven influences bread. See, many of people just assume danger from sin when it comes in the obvious form. But Scripture's showing us here that the most dangerous, destructive things are quiet. They don't shout. They seep. They work inwardly, on the inside out. They become normal before they become noticeable. A little resentment. A little compromise. A little pride. A little dishonesty. A little gossip. This is why crumbs matter. It matters because in the Passover, we had to search the home. Still today, will you allow God to search your house? The point is not perfectionism. The point is that the house must not hold what symbolized the old life, what symbolized something old and coming into something new. Especially when the Feast of Deliverance was at hand. Come on. See, leaven is just not what's present. It's what's active. See, it changes what it touches. It influences everything that surrounds it. It carries the power to spread. And see, Paul reaches and addresses the church. Understand that tolerated corruption never stays isolated. It influences our conscience, our community, and our home. And when I say home, I mean this house. See, that's the burden. He's not calling the church shallow to shallow moral improvement. He's saying because Christ is our Passover and has been sacrificed, what belongs to the old corrupting nature, the old corrupting order, cannot remain casually mixed into the life of God, cannot be casually mixed into the life of God's people, into the believer. You cannot leave it. See, God doesn't measure danger by size, sin by size. He measures it by influence. We can never dismiss what God takes seriously because it seems small to you. Because it seems small to you. What small thing have you been living in your life? I'm asking. What trace of your old life have you treated as harmless? No big deal. See, the family was not merely told to know what leaven was. They were told to go search for it. And I'm asking today, would you allow God to search for it? See, the search teaches us that God does not want an assumption. He wants his people underneath the light. One of the most powerful parts of the Passover search and the tradition of getting leaven out is the search itself. The family didn't stand in a room and say, it's probably good. What do you think? Oh, it's good. It's good. I mean, it looks good enough. See, that's spiritual. Because the search rejects casual assumption. It refuses to say, if something were wrong, we would probably know about it. We would know about it. It understands that what remained in the house was not obvious at first glance. That's why the candle matters. In the tradition, search the candle is used to illuminate places that ambient light could not. The point wasn't general brightness. It was a searching light. The light brought deliberate light into the corners, into the edges, under spaces, into the hidden places. That's what Psalm 139 points towards in the soul. Let's go to Psalm 139. Hallelujah. And I ask us, let this be our prayer. In this house. Let this be our prayer. Psalm 139, 23 through 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Come on. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there's any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. David's not asking for a quick glance. He's inviting a divine examination. Can you invite God into your life and let him examine your heart? Don't be scared. Lord, I just pray courage over your people that you give them the courage, God, to let you search their heart, God. It's okay. David was saying, Lord, don't leave me to my own shallow reading of myself. I remember, man, when I was in my darkness looking in the mirror thinking I look good. And then people came up and said, man, are you sick? You know, the own shallow reading of how I see myself. Come on. I want the truth. Lord, bring your light where I naturally don't look well, God. Show me, Lord. Show me, oh God. Show me. Can you pray that with me today, God? Search my heart, God. Search me, oh God. I will not be afraid of what you show me, Lord. Because what you're showing me, it has a purpose. See, Exodus 12 commands to search the house. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost, Lord. I praise you, God. Oh, Lord, I lift you up. Psalm 139 models the prayer of a searched heart. Come on. And that's so important because believers live off surface level self-evaluation. They assume because nothing dramatic is visible that all must be well. How's brother so-and-so doing? I don't know. It all looks, it seems well. I mean, they're smiling. They come to church. They're doing good. Little know they're suffering a major anxiety and depression. Surface level. We can't trust what we see on the surface. So I always ask for God. God, give me eyes to see below the surface, Lord. God, give me eyes to see below the surface. See, Scripture does not let us equate the absence of scandal with the presence of purity. Scripture doesn't let us equate the absence of scandal with the presence of purity. A person can look stable and still need searching. A house can look tidy and still host crumbs. A believer can be active, functioning, and still need light in hidden places. That's why the search is not paranoia. It shouldn't be shame. It's reverence. You're saying to God, this moment is holy. This Passover matters. The lamb matters. This house matters. Lord, bring it into the light. That's what God was saying all along. He wasn't calling to his people to be driven by fear or to be obsessed about these things. He was calling them to live in readiness. Ready. For redemption. Perhaps this is one of the most neglected disciplines in our church today. Not dramatic confession after collapse, but the humble willingness to live under God's light before collapse occurs. I often tell people that I mentor, hey, don't call me after you mess up. You know, don't call me after you mess up. Call me before you mess up. It's okay. Don't call me after you relapsed. Call me before. See, that's maturity. That's reverence. That's readiness. See, conviction, listen to this. Conviction in God is not God inventing a problem in your life. This is why we say, search me, O God. I ask with a courage, because conviction is God exposing something that your self-assessment can never address. So you can't deal with what God, you refuse to let God uncover. Can't deal with it. Ask yourself, where do you need God's light right now in your life? What area have you been evaluating yourself and not letting God evaluate? Have you truly prayed, search me? Or have you only asked God to bless what you've already approved? Come on. Yeah. Are you praying, search me, O God? Or are you just asking God to bless what you think is good? Once the light revealed the crumbs weren't left where they were. My fourth point is that the feather teaches us that God deals with people precisely, gently, and on purpose. Once the crumbs were found, they were gathered with the feather. It's a nice instrument. What's the feather look like to you guys? Take a look at it. The issue was serious, the command was holy, but the instrument was gentle. I think to myself, why? Why, God? A feather, Lord? A feather? You know, the feather represents the Holy Spirit. But it also teaches us about the nature of how God deals with his people. See, God is not clumsy with the soul, but he knows how to confront what's in a person without mishandling the person. He knows how to be exact without being cruel. He knows how to uncover without humiliating. Why does that matter? Because I think one of the biggest things that people fear are being exposed. The fear that if God really dealt with them honestly, they would remain in shame. They would remain in guilt. But the feather, it tells another story. The one who searches you also knows how to gather everything inside you. See, Psalm 139 does not end with exposure for exposure's sake. It ends with, lead me in the way everlasting. In other words, God searches in order to lead. That's the benefit. He's searching you so he can lead you. It's okay. It's okay. Let him in. Let him search. No shame. No guilt. He's trying to take you somewhere. He wants to lead you somewhere. Hallelujah. He's exposing in order to restore. He's revealing to cleanse and guide you. That's what I see when I look at the feather. The feather is not smashing the table. It's gentle. It's not destroying the house. It's carefully gathering. It's just carefully dealing with what doesn't belong. To me, that has enormous spiritual value. Because some of the things that God's dealing with are not these public dramatic failures. It's residue. It's the hidden grievance. It's the tolerated pride. It's the secret gossip. It's the speech pattern that no longer honors God or what's around. The things that you've been letting live in the house too long. The feather says those things matter. Not just the large pieces, but the crumbs matter. And that's the revelation. God's just not only interested in major visible crisis. He's interested in what quietly is remaining from your old life. Those crumbs. There's another powerful layer here. The gentleness of the feather doesn't mean the issue is optional. It means that the Lord is wise in how he handles people. He doesn't just deal gently because the matter's small. That's not why he's dealing gently. He's dealing gently because he loves the house that he's cleaning. He loves the house that he's cleansing. Let me put this. He loves you. He loves you. And that's why he's dealing with you gently. Maybe it would be beneficial for us to do the same, to deal with one another gently. Yes, absolutely. What the light reveals, God's mercy does not ignore. It begins to gather it out. Don't mistake God's gentleness for indifference. His gentle dealing is still a holy dealing. His gentle dealing is still a holy dealing. What's God been gently putting his finger on in your life? What has his mercy been trying to gather? And the spoon teaches us one more thing. God doesn't reveal things merely so we can talk about them. Let me say that again. God just doesn't reveal the things so we can just talk about them. He reveals them so we will remove them. Amen. My fifth point is what is found must be removed, because the goal in us is to have a house ready for the Lamb. The final step is decisive. Once the crumbs are found, they're placed into a bag, a container, and taken away. And the search was not complete until the house had been separated from what had been found. Discovery, listen to me. Discovery of is not the goal. Discovering the leaven was not the goal. Removal was the goal. Readiness is the goal. See, the house didn't just merely identify what was in it. They parted company with it. That's what repentance does. Repentance is just not improved awareness. Repentance is just not feeling the conviction emotionally. Repentance is not just becoming more articulate about how you can describe it. Repentance isn't trying to figure out these excuses. Repentance is saying that it cannot remain in this house anymore. It will not remain in this house anymore. That's where 1 Corinthians 5 becomes so powerful. Paul says, purge out therefore the old leaven. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The order matters. It says, purge out the leaven, so Christ might become your Passover. So if you want Christ to be your Passover, he's saying, purge out the leaven in your life. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, get the leaven out. Get the leaven out. Let me read 1 Corinthians 5 again. 7 through 8. I really want this to sink in. Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover lamb, was sacrificed for us. For you, he was sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We don't remove the old leaven to earn the lamb. We remove the old leaven because the lamb had already laid claim to your home. And that's what God is saying in Exodus 12. That a house is about to host a holy remembrance of deliverance. And it cannot continue like nothing has changed. Amen. The aim of this whole thing is not condemnation. These whole weeks is consecration. What we're coming up to is cleanliness. The aim is not heaviness, it's readiness. We have to be ready and prepared for the Lamb. God commands it. The house is cleansed so the feast can be kept rightly. Do you want to keep the feast rightly in your house? The search was not meant to end in shame. Once again, our whole search is meant to end in readiness. The house is now in line. The environment is now prepared. The feast can now be kept in sincerity and truth. See, God reveals what does not belong for the lamb is not worthy to be prepared in the dwelling. The issue isn't whether you can acknowledge the crumbs. The issue is whether you will allow God to remove them.
Amen.
Amen. All right. I'm going to turn the lights down real quick. Bring me that lighter. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and light that for me. This table, it represents our house, because he didn't just merely address the meal, he addressed the house. Because redemption was meant to begin where people live. Because if the lamb matters, the house matters. This is what they were looking for. They were looking for leaven. Sometimes it's easy for us to spot big leaven, pieces of loaves of bread like this. And sometimes we can look at it, and we can easily break away from it. You know, we start to break it up, the sin in our life. But what God is saying, God wants more. He wants more than this in our lives. What he's asking for is that we take the Holy Spirit and we allow him to search our lives. Say, God, search me, O God. And God begins to look and begins to look and find the little things in our life. And when he finds these little things, these crumbs, these remnants of compromise, these remnants of pride, these remnants of gossip, these things, he doesn't want you to shy away from these things. He wants you to allow him to gather it. And he's going to do it gently. You don't have to be worried that it's going to hurt. He's going to do it gently. Why is he going to do it gently? Because he wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. So as we sweep these up, we don't just take them. Put them in the spoon. He does it gently and nice. And then he keeps you to guard you, to guide you. And when he takes it, it's just not merely to talk about it. It's not merely to do anything that's keeping it in your home. You cannot give excuses. You got to name it. You got to call it. You got to remove it. And once it's gathered, it no longer has a place in your home. You have to separate the house from the leaven. You have to separate completely from it. That's what God wants to do with your life. He wants you to be prepared for the Passover. He wants you to be prepared for the Lamb. He's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to lead you. He's putting his finger on it to guide you, to take you to the next place he has for you. If the house matters, the Lamb matters, the house matters. Your heart matters in this season. And God is asking, will you allow him to search you? We allow him to remove the things that no longer belong. It's not always about, it's so easy to let God just take the things that are so obvious. But bitterness ain't so obvious. Resentment's not so obvious. We have to understand what light reveals, mercy will gather. God is not clumsy with how he deals with our soul. And he's not destroying us. He does this because he loves us. And once it's all been gathered and removed, understand that God still wants to search your house. Continuously search your house. So we can continuously stay ready. The house mattered. Your crumbs matter. The light matters. The gathering matters. The removal matters. Before Passover, the Jewish people moved through this house seriously. It was done seriously. It wasn't to merely think about a meal. It was to think about a dwelling. Holy Spirit is dwelling within you. How great it is that God gives us the Spirit to dwell within us. They searched. They brought everything into the light. They gathered. They removed. Then they came to the feast. See, this whole process, this whole thing, God is showing me that it matters. Every instrument matters. God's command matters. He showed us that holy moments require holy preparation. Teaches us that the remnants matter. That we have to remove the remnants before the Lamb and before Jesus in your life can be honored. This whole message becomes full because Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. We're no longer dealing with the type and shadow and a symbol. Let me, if you don't get anything, get this. You are dealing with the fulfillment. The fulfillment of the Lamb. How much more does this mean to us now than it did when they were in a type and shadow preparing for the Lamb? And now the Lamb has come. We're not preparing for a shadow. Listen to me. We are responding. We're responding. Will you respond to the Lamb of God? Will you respond to the message of letting him search you? Will you have the courage that it takes to let him gather, to let him remove? Don't resent the search. Don't fear the candle. Don't resist the feather. Don't protect the crumbs. Come on. Don't preserve what God's trying to carry out. Amen. God's revealing because the feast matters. He's gathering because the lamb matters. He's removing because he wants sincerity and truth in this house, in this house, in your house. He wants sincerity and truth. Maybe that's the word of the Spirit. He wants sincerity and truth. See, we've spoken about the lamb, but today the Lord is asking about the leaven. We want to have the feast, but first God says there has to be a search. You wanted nearness, but God says you got to deal with your house. Let him search. Lord, search me, O God. Let him shine his light in your life and let him gather, hallelujah. Because this house will be prepared for the Lamb. I'm going to say it again. Before the feast, there is a search. Before the table, there is a cleansing. And before the Lamb got honored, look at your neighbor and say, the leaven must go. Amen. The leaven must go. Hallelujah. Can I get my worship team, please? Hallelujah. My prayer today is, search me, O God. Hallelujah. Search me, O God. Will you guys pray this prayer? Will you put that on the screen, please? I want to say this together. If you don't want to say it, I'm not forcing you to say it, but if you want God to take you to the next level, if you want to have a house prepared for the Lamb, I ask, it starts with a search. Before the preparation, you had to search the home. That's right. Hallelujah. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you, O God, for who you are. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you for your commandments. We thank you that this feast is upon us, God. Your spring feast and how good it is to be in the spring, Lord. You're so beautiful, God. Lord, and we thank you, God, that you deal with us gently. And Lord, I ask that you would just give your people courage, God, as they allow you to search their hearts, that you would reveal to them, Lord, and they would remove those things out of their life. God, we thank you for your example. We thank you for your commandments. We thank you for the illustrations that you've given us, God, in your word. You've shown us, oh God, shown us your character. You've shown us your commandments. You've shown us who you are, God, and who you created us to be. We thank you, Lord, that we're in preparation for the Lamb, God, and we're not in a type of shadow, Lord, but we are in an age of fulfillment. What Jesus has done for us. As we go, as we can continue this journey, God, I ask that we would please you in all that we do. That you would guide us, that you would lead us, that you would show us, that you would reveal to us, Lord, who you are. I thank you for your people, God. I thank you for every soul here, Lord. They heard the message, God, to let you search their hearts and how good it is to be searched by you, God. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you in our hearts to search. We welcome you in our homes to lead. We ask you to guard our hearts above all things, Lord. Lord, I would just proclaim unity in the house. I proclaim unity in this house. Lord, we're surrendered to you, God. We're surrendered, God. Have your way, Lord. This is about you, God. We want to please you, Lord. We want to go wherever it is you want us to go. We want to do whatever it is you want us to do, God. Have your way with us, oh Lord. Have your way with us, God. We thank you, God. We thank you for a family. A family that cares and loves one another. That's there for one another. Lord, we honor this house. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, for who you are. We bless you, oh God. If you need prayer today, if you need to come to the altar, lay it down. If God's already revealing something to you, I'd ask that you would give it to Him and let Him remove it. He'd restore you gently. That you have confidence that shame and guilt would not be in this house. Anxiety would not be in this house. That you would hand it over in Jesus' name. I love you, Lord.
This is the air I breathe.
This is my Without you, oh God. I'm lost without you, Lord. I surrender it all to you, God. We need you, Lord. We're broken before you, God. Desperate for you, God. I'm desperate for you, oh God. I can't do it, God, without you, God. I can't breathe without you, God. I can't walk without you, God. I can't do it without you, Lord. I need you, God. I'm desperate for you, oh God. I just want you, Lord. I want you. I want you to be first in my life, God. First in my heart. Be the center of everything that I do, Lord. We just want to honor you, God. We want to please you, Lord. If I can't do it for you, I don't want to do it, Lord. In my everything. I thank you, God. I thank you for using brokenness to show your glory through. Thank you for using the unwise to confound the wise, the weak to confound the strong, Lord. How great it is, Lord, to be used by you. I said you would strengthen your people today, God. As they walk out of here, they walk out courageous, preparing for you. Preparing for the Lamb as you come again, Lord. You've given us these times for a reason. Your appointed times, Lord. We're focused on you, God. We hear you, Lord. We see you, oh God. Bless your people this week as they go forth, God. Go before them in Jesus' name. Amen.